Yo, what is going on, everybody? Welcome to another dope episode of Creative Conversations, where we just get a couple artists together and just shoot the shit for a little bit. Tonight, we have a very special guest. This young man here is out here styling on you by making the clothes, by wearing the clothes, by showing you how it's done from the ATL. Got that ill style about him. Give it up for Corbin, the leader and the entrepreneur of Otis Gear. What's happening, my guy?
What's going on, Brock? How you feeling, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Another day, you know what I'm saying? Another time to be creative, man. How you feeling?
Absolutely same, man. Same. In the bag, daily.
I feel that, man. I feel that. Well, welcome to the show, bro. I'm very excited to have you on, man. I remember meeting you back in February at the Black and Proud Art Show. And I walked up to you. You were at your booth. You had your support with you. And I noticed your energy. I noticed, you know, talking to everybody, you were really excited about what you were doing and what you had to present everybody. You know, I saw the clothes. They were dope. And I talked to you. I was like, hey, man, you want to be on the podcast? You were like, yeah, definitely. Let's do it. So, you know what I'm saying? I had to make sure I had you on, bro. But before we get in too deep, let people know, you know what I'm saying, a little bit about yourself.
I'm Corbin Ali, creator. Creative direction behind Otis Gear, and that's the brand OTIS, and that stands for Only the Ill Survive. We've been doing it on a serious note for about 5 years now. We're not stopping no time soon.
I feel that, man. You can't stop that, bro. And I really like that acronym, Only the Ill Survive. You know what I'm saying? So we out here making sure that we got to do what we got to do. But for you, it's like, you got to be ill to be with us. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I feel that, bro. So Getting into it, man. I mean, just seeing the clothes is just such a dope aesthetic, a very relaxed, but at the same time, very cool aesthetic. You know what I mean? So when it comes to the brand, like, what kind of inspired you to go this route?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I call it complex simplicity.
Mm.
When, you know, people get into fashion and they think about fashion, it's like, oh, you know, I can make this, you know, very elaborate piece, or I can make that elaborate piece. The reality is people are going to always wear t-shirts. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're a poor man, if you're a rich man, like at some point in time. So I just wanted to make clothes that spoke to you. I wanted to make gear that when you see it, I want it to speak for you. I want it to represent you. Mm-hmm. We started out, this is a project for the people. So I'm thankful that, you know, that's where we began. And we keep that at the forefront of everything. And then there's that too. You have to keep in mind, will other people want to wear this? It's not about, you know, what I like and, you know, what looks good to me. You know, I need you and I need the next person to see it. And, you know, I want you to want to have it.
I feel that. I mean, I went on the website, man. I checked it out at the art show and I was just like, dang, I feel like I want to be cool right now. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I'm looking kind of basic compared to what you got going on. I need a little bit of ill will on me too. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. So I like that. I like the fact that you said it's complex simplicity, because I think simplicity speaks volumes. You know what I'm saying? If you've seen my work, you know, I don't really go super crazy on editing or anything like that. I like the aesthetic to really tell the story, even though there are some complex tools behind what I'm doing. In the end, when you see the product, it's like pretty straightforward, but you feel something out of it. So that's the same way I felt when I saw your clothes.
Yeah. Like I said, you just wanted to speak directly to somebody. Like I said, and I think it's important to make things that people can easily digest. Yeah. That doesn't mean you have to dumb it down, but, you know, I want you to get it though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to have to like dive in too deeply. But, you know, if you don't get it, you don't get it. But I want it to hit you within like a couple seconds. Like I said, just, you know, make sure it resonates with you.
Yeah. And the first thing I said before I saw it was like, cool. Like I was cool. It was dope. Like, that's the first few words that came to mind. Oh, this is dope. Mm-hmm. This is cool. This is, you know what I'm saying? Again, simple. Being that the complexities of simplicity are definitely shown in your craft, I know that you've had some influences that really dive deep into your artistic vision. Give me some of the inspirations that you've had, whether it could be family, could be somebody out here in the music game or anything like that. Who really inspires you to continue to move forward?
Yeah, to be honest, my biggest influence would absolutely be Outkast. I say Outkast, I mean between Andre and Big Boy. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing that people miss about them, you know, Andre is, you know, he's out of here, he's out of this world. But Big Boy is that, you know, very relaxed and mellow. And I love the way they always balance that yin and yang between each other. I feel like that's really, really unspoken. So that, and that goes back to, again, like complex simplicity. Like, yeah, it can be out there, but we still need to keep it, you know, for the average person, you know, to grasp. Mm-hmm. FUBU as well. And again, like, you know, I wanted to make gear, you know, to speak for me and my people, you know. So if you think back to, you know, For Us, By Us. And I just remember being young and all I wanted was FUBU or the platinum FUBU with Ali, a Fat Albert on it.
Yeah.
I wanted some Rockaware, you know, I wanted some Sean John. And I just simply wanted to get back to that. I feel like, you know, somewhere along the way, we got on a, you know, rich nigga time, and everybody wants to wear Gucci and Versace, and mm-hmm. you know, it's, you know, understand, you know, like they, you know, they're Gucci and Versace for a reason, but you know, there used to be a time where you could still be, you know, a powerful figure in our community, and you were more powerful by wearing FUBU, by mm-hmm. wearing Rockaware, by wearing these black owned brands. So I just really miss that era of us making clothing to speak to us, mm-hmm. you know. No respect to anyone else, but you know, it's kind of hard for, you know, the European lifestyle to speak to me and what, you know, what I like. I just wanted to tap in directly to my people through the clothing.
No, I'm not mad at that at all. And you brought up a good point. First of all, you reminded me that I had a lot of Sean John when I was a kid. I ain't gonna hold you.
Yeah.
like Sean John was definitely a big influence in the household when it came mm-hmm. to wanting to dress nice. And at the time, I wasn't thinking about supporting black artists. You know, it was just something that I felt like we wore. And so, you know, to look at it from a consumer standpoint, but you make a good point that when it comes to the influencers from back in the day, they definitely made sure that it was about community as well as their image, as well as everything else that they were putting out, like by wearing FUBU, by wearing Sean John or any other black influencer out there, no matter what type of rank they held, you always felt connected in that way, even when you subconsciously.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So I definitely understand that idea, and I can definitely appreciate the thought of wanting to continue that legacy through your clothing brand. You feel
me? Yeah. I tell people all the time, I want, you know, OTIS to be what FUBU meant to the 90s. I want that to be, you know, what I want Otis to represent that for the 2020s. And that's really the biggest influence I can say, especially on a fashion level. Like I said, I just love that community aspect that FUBU had. And again, like, you know, like when they had like their Ali collection, or mm-hmm. they had their Fat Albert collection, you know, these are just different paths you can take to make things that resonate with your people.
Right. Now I feel that, man. It, speaking of like resonating with your people, there are different ways that you can also put in personal influence to resonate with people. And I want to kind of talk about your style and what you define as you, because though you want to provide something for the people, I definitely want to get more in tune with what your style is and how that translates into your creative venture. So give me kind of like a breakdown of what you think your style is and how it represents you. So when I see you, I'm like, oh yeah, that's definitely Cortman.
Yeah, so personally, first of all, I said all the time, I am not a model. I'm a creator. And so I always look to I want to give a creative vibe at all times. So I usually look for items that are expressive. I just like, you know, very expressive clothing. And My main style, man, I'm gonna keep it honest with you. If I could put on some a hoodie and some shorts, that's what I'm really aiming for.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that's really my aim. But yeah, personal style, yeah, I just try to be as expressive as possible. I remember even in high school, and also, you know, just being bold, taking risks. I remember even in high school, it's like, okay, like when I would see what everyone else was wearing, I've always been this way. It's like, all right, if you're gonna zig, I'll zag. Like, oh, okay. You know, everyone was wearing baggy clothes. I was okay, well, you know what? I'm start wearing American Eagle. Clothes start fitting, and then you know, then that trend came after that. I would try like, you know, different colors that, you know, like especially the average, you know, young man wouldn't try. Like, okay, I'll try turquoise, I'll try lavender. Mm-hmm. And just again, just being expressive, but not loud. There's a difference. Right. I want you to see me, but I don't want you to, you know, see me and beeline to me. But I want you to see me.
No, so you basically want to be discovered more or less versus just being out here and just being loud, as you stated. I get that, and I like the fact that you are challenging the norm. Even back then, where, okay, all these kids are wearing this or all these people wearing this, let me switch this up a bit. And so that way I don't necessarily just blend in. I stand out to a degree. Exactly. You know, I feel like that with my work as well. When I'm shooting someone, if a woman is always in a bikini or if a guy is always in sportswear, I'm going to put him in a suit. Or I'm going to put her in like some different kind of dress or clothing just to challenge what we that always challenge. See. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And it also creates a different type of side of that person that you're capturing. So by you being able to provide clothing that would definitely challenge the norm what was it? It was like the Put Me On.
Yeah.
I noticed for sure. I was like, wow, he uses a lot of expression, especially on the back of like your hoodies. For example.
Yeah.
So it's like it could be really simple in the front, but as soon as somebody passes you, you turn around, you're like, oh, where'd you get that from? Like, that was the first thing.
Yeah.
That
came to mind. Yeah.
So I can definitely see how your style influences those pieces of clothing in the way that you did describe it.
Yeah, because like you said, that's exactly, like, let's be honest, that's what we all want. We all want to dress nice, and we all want somebody to pass us on the street and say, hey, Brock, where you get that shirt from? Man, that's nice. Yeah. Like, We all want that. So again, you know, like I said, you want to make things that you know, that the people want to wear. And again, like, you know, and even in my personal style, you know, I want to wear things like I said, that resonate, that speak. I often say, like, you know, your clothing is the first thing that speaks for you.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know, I don't know you up the street, you know, but if I see a man in a suit, it's like, okay, he's probably, you know, on business. If I see a woman and her pajamas, it's like, all right, she's, you know, probably resting. Mm-hmm. So if you see me with a shirt that says ATLians on it, then guess what? That's who I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I do get the Outkast reference going back a little bit, because going into your different collections, I did see like ATLians among many. And I'm like, I don't need to really ask what that meaning comes from, because, you know, you know what I'm saying?
The South got something to say. Yeah.
So,
and again. Again, you know, the brand is almost if you know, you know.
Yeah.
You know, again, if you see it, like you said, it's like, I don't even have to ask about that. It's like, exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. You already see it. It already spoke to you. You know, that's that.
I feel that, man. And I love the fact that the if you know, you know kind of thing. I love the fact that you look at somebody and be like, I get it. And even before we even get into the meanings of your collections, it's like, because you make it for the people are going to really resonate with you, because everybody else can ask questions, but they already know the answer. Yeah. I love the fact that you take that spin on your clothing. So that way, again, you want it to be digestible to a degree. And at the same time, you want to give it like a mystery for everyone else on the outside looking in.
Exactly.
Yes, I love that. So going into the collections, man, I mean, we got Sweet of the Juice, we got Antidote, we got Motto, Ripe Fruit, the aforementioned ATLians, and Liberation, man. Like, what inspired those different titles for your clothing, and how do they differentiate from each other? What's the story?
Yeah, so I'll tell you, the story is Liberation is Promised, and ATLians. Those were our first two collections. Mm. I wanted to make sure that we established, first and foremost, that we stand for something with Liberation is Promised, and I wanted to establish a home base with okay. the ATLians. Right. Because no matter what, no matter how far we take it, if we're 10 years from now, you know, we've already established, hey, this is what we stand for. And this is home base. So, you know, we can, you know, take it to New York. We can take it to Europe. We can take it to LA. But you'll always know where home base is. And I wanted that, you know, this is my home. This is, you know, I was born in Topeka, Kansas. So we moved here when I was 5 years old. So I feel like, you know, I appreciate Atlanta a lot more than, you know, to somebody, you know, if you're born and raised in Atlanta, this is all you know. Like, yeah, right. I come from, you know, a very small city with, you know, 100,000 people, you know, max to Atlanta. Like, this is, you know, this is you know, like I said, something I don't really take for granted. So those were the first two collections. Again, we just wanted to establish ourselves. And then from there, like, you know, you have, like, you know, Suit of the Juice. Of course, you know, Black of the Bear, Suit of the Juice.
Right.
That collection started out specifically for our women.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make a collection for women. I noticed in streetwear, there's not a lot of, it's unisex, but there's not a lot that goes directly for women. Mm-hmm. You know, so women can come in, you know, can get a hoodie or you can get a t-shirt, but, you know, what about a cute bandeau top? What about some, you know, some short shorts? What about some fitted joggers?
Sure.
And yeah, I wanted, you know, our women to feel, you know, powerful, feel prideful, and feel sexy. Yeah. That was, you know, the gist of it. And then I put some hats out, and then men started buying the hats. I was like, okay, so I think, you know, we all black people, you know, we all, you know, Black and American.
Yeah.
That definitely originally started for our women, as well as, you know, you have like the model collection, and that, you know, stems from our motto, only the ill survive, mm-hmm. Self-explanatory. We just want to be expressive and, you know, hit you in the chest. Long story short, I want to hit you in the chest. I want it to feel very impactful.
Sure. I get that, man, because, I mean, you have a lot of entrepreneurs out here who are in the clothing game, but, and I mean, shout out to them and what they're doing, but what set you apart is the fact that, first of all, you had all of these collections with all these different meanings. So as soon as I saw the collections, I'm like, there's something here. For example, like you said, the Suit of the Juice. For us, it's obvious, you know, the Black of the Berry, the Sweet of the Juice. You definitely reference women, Black women, when you say that. And it was just really dope to see that vision, even as you explained it. I'm like, yeah, that's what I got from that when I checked that out. You know what I'm saying? And it's cool that Liberation and ATL is where your first start. You know what I'm saying? So that way you kind of set the precedent.
Yeah. Big time. I'll say this. I read a magazine a long time ago in 50 Cent. You know, I'm sure you remember when he came on the scene. I mean, I still don't think to this day, maybe Drake came on as hot. Maybe. I don't even believe that. But I read this magazine and 50 said, he said, you're only going to be new once.
Yeah.
You're only going to be new once. So I always, like, kept that in mind. Like, okay, like, we have to make sure we at least introduce ourselves properly in any setting. But, you know, I just always knew, you know, that was very key. Like I said, you're only going to be new once. So make sure, you know, when they see you, you know, they understand it and respect it.
I feel that, man. I never thought about that. And I mean, 50, as much as a troll that he can be, you know, like online and stuff like that.
He
got the business game down. And so you can definitely learn a great deal from his example as far as that goes. You're only new once. That's actually a bar right there, man. So y'all heard it here on the show. You know what I'm saying? Corbin spitting facts from the stuff that he's 50, learned.
50, we need our credit. You go around putting on the IG caption.
Exactly, man. So, you know what I'm saying? Don't play with us. We out here. He knows what he's doing, man. He know what he's doing with his craft, bro. So, Otis Gear, you only knew once and you set the precedent heavy, you know what I'm saying, by representing your city. And even with you and how much you love this city, everyone else is definitely going to feel the love around that as well, who feel like the Atlanta is them. So,
you know,
it's really good that you did that.
What's the interesting thing? Yeah. I actually went to New York. I went to Brooklyn, did some pop-ups out there. And I brought, like, the Sweet of the Jews gear, Liberation gear. I'm like, okay, you know, but I didn't bring the ATL and stuff. Because I'm like, oh, you know, I don't think so. But I was told, you know, hey, just throw it out there. You never know. Yeah. I was actually surprised. I got a couple sales from people, you know, that were actually ATLians, you know, that have moved to New York. So, you know, they... you know, jumping out their skin. They, you know, we see each other, you know, it's like, oh man, like, you know, I gotta get it. And a couple of them, I remember one in particular, she said it, and this is so funny because, you know, it's second nature to us, but she was like, that's my favorite Outkast album.
Hey.
Oh man, I forgot this is a whole record out. Like, you know, notice, like, this, it's just, you know, like almost ingrained in, you know, in my conscience at this point. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought that was real interesting, man. You know, it's AT aliens everywhere. And I think New York, they actually, you know, respected it too. It's like, oh, okay, like, yeah, he's clearly not from here, like, you know, but he's from Atlanta, you know. And it's that same mindset almost. If you go back to, you know, the South got something to say at the Source Awards, you know, mm-hmm. we aliens, we not like y'all. We come up with a whole new style you ain't seen yet. Yeah. Like I said, Outkast, just in general, I love music is probably a bigger passion of mine than fashion. Mm-hmm. And again, I love how they always, like I said, represented. We're not from here. We are out of this world, but we the coldest though. And we're gonna pull up on you. We gonna pull up in a spaceship on you, and you ain't gonna and by the end of it, you're gonna ready to get on the spaceship. You know, what mm-hmm. y'all going to? Like, that's what we want to do. We want to take you to our planet.
Exactly. And in our planet, we got a lot of base. You gotta love Atlanta, bro. We gotta love it, man. You feel it in your chest from just the streets. You go on Edgewood, man, and see how much you know, life is out there, bro. From everybody who wants to party, Bob, and you just see so much, not just us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah. You can just tell that we're just ingrained in this place. And then this place, there's a big part of us here. So shout out to you, man, to really be able to put Atlanta on the map the way that you have, and being able to represent not just yourself, but for others who really feel like they're from home or they're out of this world, or any way they want to feel Atlanta is to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So going into the 5 years that you've taken it seriously, man, first of all, congratulations to that. But I know that sometimes you can have your ups and downs while getting the process going to get to where you are now. So give me some moments where you definitely hit some, you know what I'm saying, some hardships a little bit, and how you've overcome them to get to where you are today.
Yeah. So if we're 5 years in, this was year two, mm-hmm. I had lost my job. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, you're starting out a business, you know, I was working $14 an hour, you know, trying to pay bills, pay a car note, and start a business at the same time. So, you know, I end up losing the job, and, you know, long story short, I had to stop the business operation. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you, that shit hurt. Like, that really, like, it was really hurting me to know, like, dang, like, I'm not in a position to keep this rolling, to be outside, to still, you know, provide something for the people. And that shit hurt, man. Like, so to answer your question, I just always held on to that feeling. And I knew, like, okay, whenever I get back on my feet and get back to that point, this will never happen again. Because I'm never going to forget, you know, like, you know, this low. So I just knew that was the bottom. That was the bottom floor. And mm-hmm. no matter what, at the very least, we'll be at floor two, floor three. You know, we're trying to, you know, hit the top of the, you know, top of the building. But that experience in itself, and even with that, at one point I thought about, like, okay, well, maybe, you know, I might have to just, you know, this is a cool little run, you know, this is a nice little idea, nice little project. My cousin called me and was like, hey cuz, what a new gear at? With a new guy, I know you got it. I know, you know, I need it. Where it's at? And I'm like, damn. I'm sitting here thinking about quitting, and this motherfucker's on my line asking me where it's at. Like, so.
Love it.
Yeah. So, you know, that phone call right there, that phone call in itself, like, just changed my whole trajectory and the way I thought. And that's when I knew, all right, you're on a mission, man. This is, like, something that, you know, you owe to the people. Mm-hmm. You're on a mission now. Like, you can't give up. It's just that simple. Like, and once I accepted that, that changed my mindset. Once I accepted that there's no giving up, there's no backing out now. We're in here and we're in it for life. So once you, you know, dedicate yourself and dedicate your life to anything, you know, until I die, that's simple. So
I'm not mad at that, bro. People underestimate the responsibility we have to ourselves when it comes to our craft. you know, nobody can force us to do it. We, you know, it's just like God given inspiration, bro. The fact that your cousin called saying, hey, man, where is that? And you, it's something just clicked in you to be like, you know what? Yeah, there's a purpose for it. You know what I'm saying? And I can definitely appreciate some of the hardships that we all go through in our crafts, because again, it makes us stronger in the end. And it also gives us a chance to teach others who are also going through certain hardships and how they can possibly get through them.
Yeah. And because I keep that in mind, like, you know, when I talk to business owners and I tell them, I'm like, you know, the only real factor, you know, everyone's going to have advice. So you should do this, you should do that, you should do this, you should do that. Yeah. The only thing that everybody's going to tell you, and we're all going to scream at the same time, don't quit.
Right.
It's just that simple. As long as, you know, if you stopped your podcast after one episode, and that's that. But you have to keep going no matter what. Like, you know, if Michael Jordan, you know, what's the classic tale? He got cut from his high school basketball team. Mm-hmm. Now, just imagine that. He got cut and just, you know what? That's it. I'm done. Like, but that's what makes him Michael Jordan, is because he got cut and now he's the greatest. Like, cause he took that fuel and he just understood like that feeling of like, damn, I got left out. They didn't think I was good enough. Like, I have to work up and get to that point, and I never want to feel like that ever again.
Yeah. Nah, man, that's how legends are born, bro. You have to go through adversity. I definitely feel like when things are kind of handed to you, you don't really appreciate what you really have at the end, and sometimes you can squander it. So, and without that type of adversity and those particular stories that we are surrounded by those legends that are made through adversity, we really don't get that perspective we need. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that going through those hardships are just necessary as a creative, or in any realm, but definitely as a creative, to where everybody looks at us and be like, for example, you know, I'm sure somebody's out there like, you talking about t-shirts, you talking about clothes, you ain't this and that. You know, you hear that sometimes. I've heard that about certain photographers that I'm not, quote unquote. But next thing you know, a few years later, I'm out here, and next thing you know, like, dang, your work is crazy. We got to work together. But I thought I wasn't this person.
Yeah. And at the same time, everyone's not going to see the vision.
Sure.
Everyone's not going to see the vision. And something I always say on this same subject, I always said there was probably somebody at North Carolina watching number 23 playing college and was like, that's the best ball player I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee the two people next to him, what? You're crazy. That's not, mm-hmm. He can't be Larry Bird. He can't be Magic Johnson. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure somebody out there that said, I'm telling you, I've never seen somebody this good. I think he's going to be the one. And that part, and again, no one probably believe that person that said that. You know, we all believe him now.
Of course.
And as well, you know, the classic saying I always repeat to myself, nothing that comes easy is worth having, mm-hmm. and nothing that's worth having is going to come easy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really that simple, man. You can apply that to your love life, to your work life, you know, anything, you know, if you got it real easy, hey, she can leave real easy. But if she really made you put in work, she really made you, you know, build something, like, you know, that you're gonna feel like that's more worthy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, man, everybody's not gonna see the vision. Everybody's absolutely not gonna see the vision, but you know, the ones that do are the ones that do, and that's, you know, this right here is the fun part, you know, meeting, you know, like-minded people, mm-hmm. people that are mentally resilient, not being deterred, because of course I've heard many a times, you know, early on, like, oh, you're making clothes, everybody makes clothes. It's like, okay,
right,
you know, everybody shouldn't look like this.
Yeah,
you know, that's the model I took early on. Like, yeah, okay, everybody doing it, but do it look like this though?
Right. Yeah, man, nothing's new under the sun, but at the same time, your perspective is different than anyone else's. So, and you know, like I said, legends are made that way, man. You go through that adversity and then you provide us your perspective and make people believe in you. You know what I'm saying? And there are going to be some, like you said, that don't see the vision and who refuse to. But in the end, they're not even going to be a factor, because you know what you got and you know what you can provide to the world, and you're going to have people who are going to receive it.
As long as you know your path that, you know, you're walking towards, you know, it's fine. Just keep in mind, you know, where you're walking, and as long as you know where you're going, then you're good.
Nah, for sure, man. Speaking on where it's going, man, is even though it's going everywhere else, it's still staying in ATL, man. You're going places just throughout the city, bro. And I want to kind of talk about the movement a little bit, man. When it comes to your aesthetic and your movement, you're definitely very specific on who you shoot. When it comes to your photos, when it comes to who models your clothing, you have a particular aesthetic, man. Tell me about the creative process as the creative director of the business. How does that process kind of go for you?
So again, it's been 5 years, maybe 2 years ago, not 2 years, it was 2021. I had finally decided, you know, I'm just going to have fun, man. Like I really wanted to have fun. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I used to always get complaints that my marketing was a little subpar, and it's like, oh yeah, the gear looks dope, you know, everything is that, but man, your marketing kind of shaky, man. Like, mm-hmm. I decided early last year, okay, you know what? We're just going to have fun. And I knew that I wanted to make shoots that look interactive. Again, I want them to look colorful. I thought color was real important. I see a lot of photo shoots, very, very strict on how many colors are appearing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want it to be very bright, colorful, eye-catching, popping. And I wanted to show people, I like to show people actually doing things in the clothes. It's nothing against, you know, a white background photo shoot, yeah. But you know, that's that. But if we're doing a photo shoot for ATLians, okay, why don't we just pull up to American Deli, you know, and, you know, show some ATLians eating some wings. Like, that's what the ATLians would be doing. Like, you know, let's go, you know, post up, you know, in East Atlanta. Like, that's what ATLian be doing. Or, okay, we're doing the juice photo shoot. All right, well, let's build a lemonade stand. Let's make a lemonade stand. Let's have, you know, the ladies, you know, serving lemonade, you know, they're having a picnic outside. I just wanted to show people, put some life in it, man. That's really it. Just put some life in it. Like the white background, again, you know, it obviously serves its purpose, but I want you to feel something when you see it.
Mm-hmm. No, I feel that, man. I mean, and I get that. You want to be able to relate to home. So, and people who are from here to relate to home as well through your imagery when it comes to your marketing. Again, the American Deli shoot is a really good example because I can't count how many times I've gone to American Deli just to get some wings or get their fried shrimp or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So seeing somebody eat that, but at the same time looking cool as shit doing it in your clothes, being able to capture every stitch as you're eating, but at the same time catching that personality so you're able to tell stories of Atlanta while trying to sell people on the fact that Atlanta's just that dope and you should be dope with us, so wear what we got. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Brilliant. And also, you're very, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're very specific when it comes to your studio shoots too, because I always see some sort of brown background, some sort of melanated background. Am I correct?
Yeah. I mean, that same thing. Like I said, we wanted to, those are like the little things, like I said, mm-hmm. Almost subconsciously to draw you in. Like I said, we do an antidote photo shoot in front of a brown background. Yeah. Those are like little things that will draw you in. You studied, man.
Oh, bro, I tell you, I show appreciation to people on my show. They think I'm playing.
No, I watch interviews, I watch podcasts, and you can tell, you know, when the host is like, you know, when they're on their shit.
Yeah. Nah, I definitely appreciate that, man. I mean, like I said, I just love the fact that every part of your photo shoots, every part of your marketing, as simple as the website is, it still speaks to me in a different way because it's a darker brown background versus a white background. Or I should say the lighter brown to let people know that it has some sort of warm aesthetic. It's very warm when you go there and it's also very easy to use. So, and seeing those backdrops used along with being out in the city of Atlanta, just being in the streets and showing those elements of the different collections and every location. And even, like I said, the studio speaks to whatever you're looking to provide to us is amazing. So I definitely wanted to take time to kind of talk about that because marketing is also very important for business. And with that, you pretty much found your niche on how to market yourself. So that way, again, people can just know when they go to your page, they're going to get quality.
Yeah. No, big time. Like I said, and it's absolutely been a process. I started out I would do my own. I would get a camera. I would shoot it. I would find the model. Mm-hmm. I would do every single thing, you know, myself. Really like the Tyler Perry method. And then I realized, yeah. Like, you know, again, you know, everybody's like, you know, you kind of, you know, slacking. And so that's when I realized, okay, once I worked with a model, that definitely changed things. I'm like, okay, like, it's the difference between being a pretty face and someone that knows. Yeah, someone that knows how to actually work the camera. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I'm all right with the photography, but like, we got Brock, you know, Brock is in the building. Like, Brock is a menace with the camera. Like, why should I, you know, like, do an eye job when I could call my mans up and he'll, you know, have me looking like, you know, like Macy's, like, you know, we look like a real catalog. Yeah. And that's also something I picked up once I started working with other people is, again, if I created the shirt, found the model, found the setting, took the shots, did the editing on the photos, you know, it's like, you know, who else got a chance to put their spin on it? So once I started working with photographers and models and just being, you know, a lot more receptive, I want you to put your effort into it. You know, I already made the shirt, man. Like, you know, I kind of did my part. You know, yeah. I put the photo shoot idea together, and I'm pretty loose when I do photo shoots. Very loose in the sense of I'm just not strict about, you know, I need you to do this, I need you to do that. I'll take you to a setting and I'll just say, hey, okay, like, you know, you're a legit photographer, you're a professional model. Mm-hmm. I don't have to breathe over your back and tell y'all what to do. I brought y'all to American Deli and I gave y'all some wings. Like, I'm gonna walk off now. And when I come back in 15 minutes, I imagine y'all will have something, like, you know, ready.
I love that, and people
respect that freedom too. Like I said, it makes them feel a part of it. Like, oh, dang, okay, I can put my spin on it. All right, well, this is what I would do. Like, so yeah, he's one. You know, like I said, it's for the people. So, like, you know, let's not just say that. Let's actually do that. Let's be that.
Right. Exactly. And I can appreciate someone that I work with, and they allow me just to do my thing, because, like, I can definitely follow direction, but at the same time, it's like, if you like my work for what it is and you like my aesthetic, allow me to do that. And of course, I'm gonna follow the vision as much as possible. But at the same time, if you trust that I can really put my spin on it, then it's definitely going to breathe more life than it would if I had to follow every single pinpoint of something. So yeah. The fact you could say, hey, all right, I did my part. You're here. I'm gonna walk off and eat these wings. I'm gonna come back and just see it after I, you know, wash my hands off.
Yeah. No, straight up. And again, like, you know, it's cool. I would say the best part is when you come back to the shoot and everybody's laughing and having a good time. It's like, all right, cool. You know, I got a nice little cast of people together.
Yeah.
And there's that too, man. You know, people say it's business, but I do like to work with, you know, cool people. You know, like I said, that you know, are looking to, you know, like-minded people that are, you know, looking to build and make an impact. That's really it. You know, we all gonna die one day, you know, like, but what impact do we, you know, did we make while we were here? Did we get all our dreams out? That's really it. That's all it's gonna come down to. Like, you know, I'm gonna die, but did I get all my dreams out? Did I do everything I wanted to do first? That's what's most important.
Nah, I feel that, bro. I feel that heavy, man. Now, going into the team effort, man, I think it's very important to understand who you're working with and getting that that camaraderie, that chemistry together for the people you work with. When it comes to collabing on business, though, there's also really good methods to create teams for people that just inspire you. Do you also have people with you on the business front as well, or like any type of mentors that kind of lead you?
I do have a couple of business partners that I rely on. And an investor. Mm-hmm. My main partner. Let me not say my main partner. It's definitely a unit. I have someone that helps with like the graphics and the artwork. Mm-hmm. And my partner, you know, she helps me, like, you know, schedule events, and really just you know, staying on top of things, giving advice. She owns a business. She owns a candle line. So we try to, you know, make sure we you know, give each other perspective as owners, but also big perspective as consumers too.
Right.
And as well as like making sure we keep that open door where it's like, you know, we can speak freely. We can speak freely to each other. That's fine. That's acceptable. And I need you to tell me, like, if I send you a design and it sucks, like, I need you to tell me, like, it's okay. Like, you know, I'll live. Yeah, that's really it as far as, you know, an official team. Mm-hmm. And every now and then, you know, but again, it's honestly, you know, again, I say, you know, it's for the people. So sometimes I might have a friend come to a pop up for me. I can't even predict, man. Like I said, I've had family members come up and work a whole pop up for me. I did not ask you to come today. Like, you just so happen to know that I was in need of some help, and you know, came by and worked the whole show with me, man. So I think that's a big part of it. Always keeping, you know, the people first and the people in mind. Mm-hmm. That energy always finds its way back.
Nah, for sure, man. Because I don't know who that was with you, but they were definitely working the room when I met you. So I was.
I think that was my sister. So again, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, and she just so happened to be in town. She lives in Texas, so she just so happened to be in town. But that you know, she's proud of me, man. Like, and that means a lot to me, you know. But she's really, you know, proud of me and you know what I got going on, and it resonates with her. So she loves the opportunity to come and, you know, help me, you know, set up a pop up, talk to the people about it. She loves it, man. She loves it probably more than I do.
And you know, that's always the best part when somebody gets hyped for you, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, and at the same time, yeah. You're like, dang, I wasn't even this excited, but you got me hyped than I was.
Yeah. No, I'm in it now.
Yeah, man. But that's awesome to have, you know, just outside of the business aspect of having a proper team and one that's very honest, because sometimes we just got people who are just yes men, yes women. But at the same time, you have people who can tell you, hey, this ain't really hitting. And that's really important. I mean, you're not Meek Mill to a Drake right now. You definitely got somebody telling you the truth in this battle.
Yeah. And I try to keep just, you know, anybody, people around that, you know, we have to be on that type of time. Like, I need you to feel comfortable enough to hold me accountable, because I'm not at Drake or Meek Mill's level yet. Like,
yeah.
So hold me accountable today, because I don't want to get there one day, you know, like, you know, in my head is in the air. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to at least, you know, like, you know, stay humble, you know, keep my people around that are going to, like, you know, let me know. And, you know, these people are going to help me on the right path. And these people, you know, they'll be right there at the top with me.
Not for sure. My brother's like that for me. I remember the very first time I started shooting, and I did my very first photo shoot. It was back in like 2010, 2011. And he looked and he was like, this is cool, but it can always be better. And I love that, because it definitely gave me the perspective. Is like, everybody can tell me, oh, this is so good, you got a professional camera, great. But he definitely was letting me know, like, bro, you can definitely grow from this. It's cool, don't get me wrong. You have a foundation now, but you can definitely grow from this and make this even better than you think you are.
And those are like my best conversations, man. I've mm-hmm. had, you know, where it's just like, you know, that's cool, but like, I know you can come harder, bro. I know. And sometimes I'll be like, what? He said, I can leave my apologies. But then, you know, I'll sit back and then I look at him, I'm like, damn, he was right though.
Yeah.
He tweaked it right here. Like, okay, let me do this. Let me do that. And yeah, like I said, you have to, you know, understand and invite that, but it has to be from the right person, you know.
That's
you
true.
Know, not just anybody running up on me like, hey man, you need to be doing this. You know, I don't know you like that, but you know, keep a trusted circle that's gonna just keep you sharp, man. I got a circle of knives. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we ain't stabbing each other in the back, but we keeping each other sharp.
Hey, you know, I fuck with that heavy. That was so dope. I got a circle of knives. We ain't stabbing each other in the back, but we keeping each other sharp. We're coining it on this episode.
I'm glad we're recording, because I'm throwing that, you know, in the lingo from the point forward.
Oh, bro, I'm with you, man. I'm having to text you every time I use it. I was like, hey, man, I just want to make sure I give you credit that I use this, you know.
You good. We on your show. You good.
Oh, man. So, when it comes to being in the position that you're in, you're still growing, but I know you have young brothers and young sisters out here talking to you and wanting and inspired by your work to want to move forward in any type of creative endeavor, whether it's clothing, maybe even music. what would you tell the young person that is speaking to you, or anybody at any level speaking to you, wanting to get advice? What is like that one piece of knowledge that you'll definitely give them moving forward?
I said, don't quit, man. It's really that simple. You know, you have to dedicate yourself. Like, and if you quit, you can't. How you gonna win? If you lose and you quit, then that's that. Like, you got to come back next season. You got to come back repeatedly until you win it. So it's that simple. And again, like, stay on your craft. And I always tell people, you need to have, like, you know, when I make a new design, I rotate the people. But I usually send it out to at least 3 or 4 people and like, hey, how do you like this? Hey, how do you like this? How do you, and be honest with me. Because again, you just want people around that are gonna keep you sharp. So I think that's just like, you know, keep a circle that's gonna keep you on point and just don't stop. Like don't stop. Don't let anything stop you.
You heard it here first, y'all. Do not stop. Do not quit. Because when you quit, you really lose. You truly lose when you quit.
That's it. That's game over. If you look, you lose and you cut the console off. That's it. That's it. Nah, you gotta rematch, man. You gotta rematch it. That's
just keep building on what you're learning, because every L is a lesson and it's only a loss again when you quit. So you constantly get the lesson, and I remember playing football. I may have talked about this on the show before, but I remember playing football, and it was my very first time really getting into sports in high school. And we were doing like these laps and these runs, and everybody was like, "Oh, you know, we're doing it. I'm dead last out here." And they were like, "One more lap." And I'm sitting there, boy, tears in my eyes and all. And this senior, shout out to him, he was like, "Man, if you work hard, you can sleep easy." Bruh, stuck with me ever since freshman year of high school. You know what I'm saying? And I tell my girl that. I tell everybody that. It's like, if you work hard, you can sleep easy. You know what I'm saying? So reap the benefits of your hard-earned work. You know what I'm saying? Hard work and what you've earned to be able to rest, bro. I'm telling you, bro. You can coin that, too. I got you. You know what I'm saying? It's a teacher right now.
So we got a few bars that it came through, but we got a song, bro. We're going to play the whole podcast back.
Bro, low-key.
Pick like 16 lines out of here. I'll come up with a new hook, bro. We got this.
We there. We both creative. We go can do it. See, y'all about to get a banger out of this episode, y'all. I promise. So let me ask, man, what is next for you, bro? Because you have so much going on, and I know it's not stopping here. What's next on the roadmap for you?
Yeah, our more collections, man. We just want to come harder, and we want to go national. That's the next goal. I've done pop-ups in New York before, and we're doing that again. We're in D.C. next weekend, Juneteenth weekend, we'll be in D.C.
Nice.
And the weekend after that, we'll be back in Brooklyn in Bed-Stuy on Tompkins. That's the next step, man. You know, again, we are, everybody know what home base is. Like, so, you know, now let's take it out there. Like, you know, and again, like I said, if you look at the Outkast or even the Futures, the TIs, like, it's like, you know, they love the flavor that we really got going in the South. Don't let them tell you otherwise. Don't ever let them have you thinking otherwise. We really got the sauce. Like, you know, that's really the next step, man. Just expansion to different cities. You know, we haven't even gotten to the West Coast, to the Midwest yet. I'm kind of hell bent on mastering the East Coast first and foremost, and then you know, the original goal when I first started this, I always knew, again, that I was telling myself, we're creating a worldwide brand.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people, you know, as much ATL and stuff as we have, people ask me, like, are you gonna make more ATL and stuff? And it's like, you know, maybe, you know, like, you know, but we're gonna do some sort of the juice next, and it's like, we gotta do all Atlanta, and it's like, I kind of want to do Brooklyn next.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, I don't want to, you know, this is going to be a worldwide brand. Like, you know, there was always going to be a worldwide brand. You know, we're not just, you know, from the West End to Bankhead. Like, nah, we from West End to Bali, bro. Like,
hey, I love it. I love that. That's so dope.
Yeah, man. Like I said, that's really it, man. We just want to expand, get it out there as much as possible. Let the people see it, feel it, and just be greater every single time. Every I try to do a collection, a new debut. I always want to be better than the last. Like, you know, I started out, you know, just screen printing on you know, okay, how to color flow across, how do I make this design flow across two color shirts, like a black shirt and a yellow shirt. Then it became, okay, how can I make it cross over four different shirts? Okay, now how do I mix in some stitching with the printing? Then it became, okay, now we're doing stitching, printing, and we're doing like custom, you know, we're cutting the pieces up, custom cutting. So, you know, like I said, we're always challenging ourselves to just, you know, continue to be greater. So, you know, I would advise, you know, get down now. We only going up from here.
And I believe it, bro. From the collections that you have, from the story of losing your job to your cousin calling and giving you that rejuvenation to just continue your craft and build on it even harder to reaching 5 years and many more years, bro. You have definitely set the tone for what this entrepreneurial life is about. And you are setting the example for yourself, for anyone in the future that follows behind you that wants to follow their dreams. You're letting us know today and going forward that they are reachable and attainable. Corbin, I appreciate you being on the show so much, man. Thank you so much for coming on.
I appreciate it, Brock, my brother. I appreciate the inspiration and the platform to allow me to speak and to the people. Y'all can check us out at otisgear.com. That's OTISGEAR.com. Catch us on IG at otisgear. And again, tap in with us. You will see us outside in the city. Catch us at low 5 points any and all times, but you will catch Otis Gear outside. We coming for it.
I feel that, man. And y'all heard it here. Go follow him and support his brand. And of course, support the podcast. This is Creative Conversations with your boy Blair, but you know, we're friends, so call me Brock. You can find us on Spotify under Creative Conversations and also Apple Podcasts. Thank you all for joining us for another dope episode. And until next time, stay blessed and always stay creative. Peace.